Amen. Thank you, Pastor Johnny. Well, Pastor Johnny did allude to something that I'm excited about. We've been talking about it for a little while, and now we're at the point where we've got to make a decision and pull the trigger on something. If you would put up the sad picture for me. So we've got a very sad, sad picture here. Right? Would you look at that? That is sad. That board is older than dirt. Yeah. If you'll notice the happy little black electric tape that is on four of the channels, it's pretty cool. It's awesome. Not really, right? So for each channel that goes out, it's irreparable. You can't replace it. You can't fix it. Our soundboard is a dinosaur anyway. And so every time one of those channels gets just a domino effect. So they're all going to go out eventually, right? And so what we've been doing is we've been praying and asking the Lord to kind of lead us to the right soundboard that's going to fit our needs. And so I want to show you a happy picture, all right? Here's a happy picture, right? So this is a digital soundboard that is pretty awesome. It's 32 channels, is that right? I don't know what that means, all right? All I know is that this is what Jonathan said he wanted, and we want to try to get Jonathan what he wants, all right? 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 And so the other thing is that I don't know why it is, but sometimes we have this mentality that the church should just be happy with what it has, and I call bull on that, all right? Because we when we come together, right, we should put forth our best praise, our best effort, our best service, our best listening ear, all of those different things. And for some reason, that attitude kind of tapers off when it comes to getting the best for the church. And so this is not the best, but it's our best. And this is a digital soundboard that if any one of the team wanted to set into the congregation on a Sunday morning, they could take their iPad and adjust the sound right in their seat. Now, come on. That's pretty awesome. That's awesome. Or they could go around the room when they're doing sound check and checking the sound over here, over there, wherever. So this opens up a lot of opportunities for us. Now, this soundboard is $1,800. Is that correct? $1,700. Now, because of your gracious giving and the finances at New Freedom Church has never been stronger, thank you so much for your giving. And so every time that we have a need that comes up this big, this is a big purchase for us, is that we want to offer you an opportunity to sow into this. We're going to sow into it. Come on, I'll sing with it. See? We need a new soundboard. You know, it's funny. You think if you're going to be a part of the sound team that you're like, that's a place to hide. Nobody looks until that happens. Everybody's like, would you fix that? Pastor Jimmy trying to say something important. but this is what we are, the board and I discussed it earlier this week. We voted on it. And it passed. We're going to purchase this. But we want to offer it up to you, an opportunity to sow into that. So if you want to give into that, talk to me about it. And would love for you to do that. But that is what we're going to, by the first of the year, we're going to purchase that. So we're excited about it. Hey, we're moving on up, right? It's like the Jeffersons. How many of you guys got it? Okay. 80% didn't get it. All right. I'm getting old. So, thanks for the sad picture and the happy picture. All right. So, I'm excited about it. We are, and this, by the way, will go wherever we go. It's not something that's just going to stay here. It's mobile. We can do whatever we want with it. So, anyway, so pray about it if you want to give into that. You can give next week, the following week, all the way up to the first of the year. however you want to do that, okay? All right, so we are in a series called Fight, right? Look at that. That is awesome. Krista Lewin did that for me. She does a great job with our graphics. As a matter of fact, she's graduating next week, is that right, from college with a graphics degree. And anyway, I've got some funny comments on my Facebook page from my pastor friends saying, hey, that is real Christmassy, Pastor Jimmy. That's awesome. So I'm going to have Krista put a bow on the fist for next week. All right? So watch out for the bow for next week. All right? Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, turn there. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. We're talking about how to get your fight back. Sometimes we get down, we get discouraged. This time of year can be very difficult for people. It's not the most wonderful time of the year for everybody. Some people are struggling with loss of relationships. Maybe there's a brother or a sister or mother or father, aunt or uncle who have passed away that you're very close to. I know my brother passed away last February. This is the first Christmas that I'll have without him. So there's a lot of, Christmas can be very, very stressful. And I don't need to get any amens because that's just the way it is. It's just true. And so this time of year, sometimes we get gut punched and we lose our fight. We lose our will to believe, to want to push forward, and to believe. And so this series is helping us to learn how to get our fight back when we're down on the mat. So how many of you guys are ready to receive this morning? You ready? Because I'm ready to give it out. This is an awesome, awesome teaching. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the opportunity this morning to preach your word. And I pray, Father, that as I do so, that you would anoint the words that are coming from my heart out of my mouth today. And I pray, Father, that you would anoint each and every heart and spirit in this place. God, may the words that are spoken today be revelation that changes their life. And more importantly, that they get their fight back. And so, Father, we trust you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to be talking about Joseph, who is the father of Jesus. We don't talk about Joseph too much, but Joseph lost his fight. So, let's pick the story up. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Gave him the name Jesus. So I want you to picture with me this morning a beautiful picture of a perfect situation. How many of you guys, you are having the best year that you've ever had, or you're in a moment in your life where you feel like nothing can go wrong, nobody's sick, You are well fed. You've got a promotion this year. You feel like the blessings of God is upon you. Everything that you put your hand to prospers, right? You get blessing after blessing after blessing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a gut punch. How many of you guys ever got the wind knocked out of you before? Right? Not fun. Not fun at all. But this is what Joseph was dealing with. Joseph was a righteous man. We see that in Scripture when the Bible says that he was a man that respects the law. So we know that Joseph was righteous. We know that Joseph loved God and that he was doing everything that he was supposed to do correctly. And the blessing of God was on him. He was about to get married to Mary, all right? So Mary wasn't Mary yet, all right? Mary's just a normal Hebrew girl going about her business, going about her life, and God chose her to bring the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, to us on earth. And so here Joseph is there in this stage, the betrothal stage, and we see that Joseph is loving life. He's engaged. He's happy. They look forward to a healthy life together, long life together. And all of a sudden, verse 18 says, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Now, Joseph is about to get married, and then verse 18 happens. How many of you guys have ever had a verse 18 happen in your life? Right? A verse 18 happens where everything's going your way, and all of a sudden, you get sucker punched in the gut. And it knocks the wind out of you. And then it questions everything that you believe, right? It's like a snow globe, right? You shake it up and you've got all of these little flakes going around in all these different places and your emotions are kind of like that. It's swimming. You can't grasp any one of them. You're trying desperately to make some sense out of what's going on and all of a sudden you're questioning everything. So you go from this happy place where you feel like everything that you touch is blessed to a verse 18 that happens. Now, the Bible says that before they came together, she was found to be with child. And listen, that sounds so eloquent. That sounds so nice because we know the whole story. It's a traditional story. We know the beginning from the end in this story. Joseph didn't. This has happened to him in real time. Joseph is expecting to have a wonderful life with this woman named Mary, the apple of his eye. He is overtaken by her beauty. And then verse 18 happens. And so when you get hit in the stomach, when the wind is knocked out of you, there's elements of shock, pain, panic, and desperation. All of that rolled up into one can cause a dramatic turn of events that can cause you to lose your fight quickly. It's amazing what happens in our desperate moment. We forget all the things that God has done for us, how he was faithful when we were sick, how he provided for us financially when we didn't have the means to do so, how he bound up our wounds, how he gave us peace that was not our own, how he saved our soul. How many times do we thank God for the salvation that we now live in? The greatest miracle of all isn't that God heals our body. It's that he sent his son Emmanuel, God with us, to save us from our sins. Now, there's a lot of humanity that says, I do not need saved. But according to Scripture, it says there is none good, no, not one. But here we see Joseph has gotten the wind knocked out of him. He went from the wind at his back, the sun on his face, to a desperate place where he couldn't breathe, where he couldn't think, where he couldn't grasp what was true, what was right, what was just. He was in a desperate place. Now, some would say that Joseph had an easy out because, I mean, let's face it, he wasn't married, right? Wasn't married to Mary. He could easily go, you know what, can I have that ring back? I'm out. And by the way, back in those days, if you were found to be pregnant before you get married, you were brought before the whole village. Your husband had a right to have you stoned, to put you on public display in disgrace, all of these things. But Joseph didn't want to do all that because he was a righteous man. But the first thing that Joseph thought of was divorce. The first thing he thought of was getting out. We see that played out in verse 19 when Joseph said that he had in mind to divorce her quietly. If you'll notice, this is the very, very first thought Joseph had when he heard the devastating news. The first sign that someone has lost their fight is giving in to the first desperate thing that comes to your mind. The enemy, when you get gut punched, will begin to start saying crazy things in your head, like run the other way, question everything that God has spoken to you. You deserved what you got. Am I the only person that's ever heard that before in their life? And that desperate moment that says, run. That desperate moment that says, curse God and die. That desperate moment that says, you don't need to go to church. You can do this all by yourself. You don't need anybody. Nobody's called me from church. That nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Well, the problem is that we can't read minds. And in order for us to help walk you through things, you've got to speak. Amen? You've got to call out. And sometimes when you're hurting and you're in that desperate place, it's very difficult to do that. And it's very easy to believe the first thing, the first crazy thing that comes up in your mind. It's at that moment that when we start believing that first crazy thing that we lose our fight. We lose our will to stand in the midst of the storm and believe. We lose our ability to speak to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. What we give into, what we believe is that I do not have enough faith. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Because the Bible says that if we have just a small faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we're not talking about massive faith. We're not talking about the faith of faiths. We're talking about a small faith, as small as a grain of mustard seed. But we lose our fight because we tend to believe things in our most desperate hour that simply is not true. But there's a way to combat that even in our desperation. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4. I almost said Philippa. Some of you guys caught that. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6. If you don't have it, it's up on the board for you. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, look at your neighbor and say, in your situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We want to hold on to verse 7 and forget about verse 6 that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. We don't want to do that. We don't want to not be anxious about anything. It's in every situation. It's so easy to be anxious. It's so easy to fret. It's so easy to walk in disbelief. We don't have to have anybody teach us how to do that. These things come naturally to us, right? We naturally doubt. right? We naturally go toward that. That's our default, is doubt, unbelief. And listen, I'm not saying that I have never doubted before. Of course I have. Of course you have. But a mature believer will recognize the state he is in and pause. We're going to notice how Joseph paused. Philippians gives us three distinct ways to get our fight back when the wind has been knocked out of us. Number one, here we go. Do not be anxious. Easier said than done, right? Do not be anxious. This is not a suggestion, it is a command. What happens when we become anxious? We lose the right perspective. We begin to exaggerate the truth. And we try to solve our own issues through those lenses. I was at a, UWGB last year with the fire department. And they were giving a demonstration of drunk driving. They had a wrecked car up there. The fire department was up there with the jaws of life. And they had some students up there as well. They were reenacting a scene where there was a collision, smoke, there was people, it was blood, it was pretty dramatic. And but afterwards, they had this booth set up, and it's called the drunk booth. And there was a long line for that. I don't know if they thought there was a tap at the end of it or what. I'm not quite sure. But there was, when you got up to it, there was these two firemen, and they had these glasses, and they were called drunk glasses. How many of you guys have ever put those on before, right? And so you put those on, and then they ask you to weave in and out of chairs, to step over a little barrier, to do easy things, but no one could do it because they were looking through those lenses. And so many times when we get sucker punched and we lose our fight, we look at God and His faithfulness through that pain. Through that anxious pain that we feel at the moment. Paul, Apostle Paul, I don't know anybody that has suffered more than this guy. I mean, he was beat multiple times, left for dead, you name it, imprisoned, shipwrecked, snake bit, just stoned, you name it. But he called all of his suffering light and momentary. How in the world can this man say that all of his suffering was light and momentary? The reason why is because he understood the right perspective. And that perspective, even in chains, even in depression, even when those stones are being hurled at his head, he still had the right perspective. He knew that his God was going to supply his need. He knew that the peace that he had did not originate from him, but came from him. And so it says, do not be anxious. And we lose the right perspective when we live an anxiety-ridden life. Everything gives us anxiety. Everything causes us to sweat. Everything causes us to live in disbelief. But we've got to have the right perspective. We've got to take those glasses on and get the right perspective in our life. Amen? And so number two, first one is do not be anxious. Number two, in every situation, we are to pray. Now, I don't want to oversimplify things this morning. But when Scripture gives us a command, there's a very good reason for it. And the good reason is it works. It works. It's time we start using prayer as our first response rather than our last resort. Sometimes we think of prayer like we think of a spare tire. We don't think about it until we need it. Right? A few months ago, I had a dear friend of mine, Chuck Foshee, came and he spoke on the subject of evangelism, sharing your faith, and so forth. Picked him up at the airport. He missed his flight in Milwaukee. We were 1 o'clock in the morning, halfway between Milwaukee and Green Bay, and I got a flat in my truck. 1 o'clock in the morning. It's awful. My truck, I'd never had to change my tire before, but there is a ridiculous way to get that tire off the undercarriage of my truck. And it took me an hour and a half to figure it out. There are still words floating around 41 that just, no, I'm kidding. Chuck was like, all right, well, Jimmy, we're going to figure it out. He was a calm one. I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you missed your flight. I can't believe da-da-da-da. And so I'm not having a really great attitude. And so I am trying to figure out how to change this tire, and I figured out that there's this long pole that you stick through a small hole in the bumper that goes down into this thing. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then you've got to crank it, and then it lowers, and it takes you 5 minutes for it to lower, right? And then finally you get it off, and we're able to get the thing changed, right? Sometimes we don't even think about praying until we need the spare tire. And then, as clumsy as I was trying to change it, we don't know how to pray when it's time to pray. We're trying to figure out how to do it, what to do. Some of you, maybe you've never prayed out loud before. Maybe it's time that you start praying out loud to the Lord. Sometimes in our frustration and our moment of anxiety and a moment of our pain, when all was going well and all of a sudden out of nowhere, to no fault of our own, we get gut punched by life. It's at that moment that we better remember how to pray. Remember that God is faithful. To not be anxious and remember and not just hold on to that weird thought, the first thought that comes to your head, but to trust God in every situation because He is working for your good. We forget that, don't we? That even in our pain, He is still working for our good. So in every situation, pray. Remember, our weapons are not of this world, but they are mighty in pulling down strongholds. That's what prayer does. So number one, be anxious. This is how you're getting your fight back. Do not be anxious. Number two, in every situation we are to pray. Number three, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving does not mean celebrating the hurt in your life, but rather remembering that God is faithful. And even in your pain, He is working it out for your good. And because of that, we give thanks. We don't give thanks because we're hurting. That's crazy. We don't give thanks because of the situation we're in. We give thanks to God because we know that He is working it for our good. Even in our pain, even in our frustration, He is working it out for our good. And if we believe that, we can rejoice, knowing that He's got our back. Now, we can ask questions like, God, why did you allow this? If you're all-knowing, if you're all-sufficient, if you're all-powerful, all of these things, you could have stopped it. Why didn't you stop it? And we get caught up in those lenses of pain and frustration, and we never take them off. As a matter of fact, our vision, because we never take the lenses off, our vision adjusts to those lenses so that we get used to it. We get used to complaining. We get used to living in doubt and unbelief. And then our relationship with Christ is stunted. There's no joy. It's all obligation. It's all rules after that. But the way we get our fight back is found in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And this is what happens. This is the promises of God. When we've done everything to stand, when we've chosen not to be anxious, when we're standing in this situation and we're bringing it up before God, and we're giving God thanks. This is what he promises. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He himself will guard your heart, he will guard your mind, and he will give you a peace that surpasses your understanding. How many of you guys know that our God is faithful? Amen? He is the Prince of Peace for a reason, because anxiety and fear have to bow down before him when we choose thanksgiving over worry. Amen? It's not easy. It's easy to preach it, but it's hard to walk it out. It's hard to say, in the midst of my pain, though you slay me, as Job said, yet I will praise you. Job said, when all of his family was wiped away, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a man that has the right lenses on. That is a man that knows the intention and heart of his God. And so we know that when we stand and believe that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you're going through it, you can better believe that the enemy will attack your heart and your mind. Those two things he goes to first. So Joseph has a decision to make that will not only change the course of his life and Mary's, but also humanity. Now, Scripture tells us that Joseph went home to sleep on it. Listen, guys, sometimes we need to take a step out of the situation, get alone with God, get away from opinions of other people, and sleep on it. Don't allow all these anxious thoughts to manipulate your mind and your decision-making, and get alone with God and sleep on it. So look at verse 20. In Matthew chapter 1. But after he had considered this, in other words, Joseph got quiet. He gave God the opportunity to give him the right perspective, the right direction, and purpose he needed to get his fight back. Sometimes we need to do as Joseph did and consider things. Stop. Just like we talked about last week with Elijah. We all can relate to Elijah running away. But there's a time to get up and to be obedient to God and trust God again. And Joseph is in this same spot. Now let's see what happens when we take time to consider. Let's look at verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Y'all, the results of Joseph getting his fight back turned out to be the greatest story ever told. Joseph, when he... instead of running, instead of reacting to this news, listen, he was skipping through life. He had everything was absolutely going his way. He was a well-known carpenter in the area. He was able to provide for this lovely bride of his. Everything was going his way, and all of a sudden he finds out that his fiance is pregnant and it's not his. That's a bad day. Joseph didn't know that he was part of the greatest story ever told. This was happening to him in real time. There was no such thing as the Bible back then. He couldn't look up what the end results would be. Like we can right here. We benefit from Joseph's example. And so we see that Joseph took time And the first thought that came through his mind wasn't to fight. It wasn't to stand and believe. It wasn't to go talk to her and see what's going on. It wasn't any of that. It was, I want out. I want out. I can relate to that. I don't know about you, but I can relate to I want out. I can relate to Elijah running the other way. I can relate to Elijah sitting under that broom tree and cursing the very day he was born and wanted to die. Elijah had the wrong perspective too. He said, listen, they're casting down all of your altars. They're burning everything up. They're killing all the prophets. I am the only one left. Elijah had the wrong perspective. The truth was exaggerated in his life. But this is what was coming out of his mouth through desperation. But just like Elijah and just like Joseph, they slept on it. They took a nap. They gave God an opportunity to speak to them. Guys, we got to give God an opportunity to speak. Some of you may say, well, if God is God, he can speak to me through a burning bush just like he did Moses. If God is God, he'll show himself to me like Moses, and I'll get to see him. I'll get to see his finger writing my answer on the wall in my house. How many of you guys have ever seen that before? Seen God in a burning bush? Seen his finger writing on the wall? No, me neither. That's why the Bible says that we live this life out by faith and not by sight. Scripture says that an unruly and wicked generation seeks after a sign. We've got to stop seeking after signs and start seeking the face of God. Amen? I was talking to a pastor friend of mine Thursday, and his son last month committed suicide. And he and his wife decided to step away. And they went to Israel. Man, what a place to go, right? So they spent 2 weeks in Israel. And he said, listen, nothing seems to make sense. I'm always questioning things. He said, everything about what I believe is up in the air. He said, I know that this is the process. I know that I'm just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I'm sheltered from bad occurrences, life-altering events. And he says, in these moments in my life, really, really make you look at what you truly believe about God. And all of us come to those places in our life where events happen. Maybe it's drug abuse in your family. Maybe it's a death. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a loss of your job at the most wonderful time of the year. And it makes you question everything. And all of a sudden, anxiety starts to creep in, and you begin to start thinking things like, God is not faithful. He's faithful to everybody else but me. It's in those times that we need to go back to Philippians. And not just give an ear to Scripture, but be obedient to Scripture. Because it's a command, it's not a suggestion. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. What does prayer do? Prayer makes us stop and be deliberate about connecting with God. It puts us in a right frame of mind. I'm not saying that you don't howl at the wind or you don't rail against God every once in a while. Do that. Let me say that again. Do that. Because God is big enough. He can take it. But at the end of the day, we've got to take control of our emotions, take control of the situation, and choose not to be anxious. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You want to get your fight back this morning? That is how you do it. That is the gate in which you get your fight back. That is how that is the Rocky movie in round 13, right? When he's beat up, he's bruised, he's got nothing left. You guys know this. Both eyes shut, cut me, Mick, you know. He, in a desperate situation, this is when the Eye of the Tiger starts playing. When we start reading Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Would you stand with me this morning? Joseph chose, instead of being anxious, instead of acting on the first desperate thought that came through his mind, Joseph chose to go home and sleep on it. He wasn't trying to avoid the situation. He wasn't running away. He got alone with God. And in his rest, God began to speak to him. Through his rest, this is what the angel of the Lord revealed to Joseph about his desperate situation. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Sometimes we need to hear that from God. "Jimmy, do not be afraid. I've got this. I'm with you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I am with you, strengthening you. Give me an opportunity to tell you the rest of your story." That's powerful. So he said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph found out the rest of the story. He got his fight back. So he got quiet and allowed the Lord an opportunity to speak to him. And then after he spoke to Joseph, the Bible goes on to say that Joseph got up and took Mary to be his wife. The scripture doesn't say that God spoke to Joseph any other time in his entire life, except for this moment. Joseph was obedient to the word that was spoken, and because of it, his life was blessed. Because of it, we can draw our strength and hope through Joseph's fight. Give God an opportunity to tell you the rest of the story. It's not over. You're not done. You still have a lot of fight left in you. Get back up. Dust your pants off. And don't be anxious. But in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me today? Guys, I want you to position yourself to be part of a supernatural story and not a cautionary tale. Allow God to supernaturally come through for you in your life. If you want to see God's faithful hand, stand still. Stop running. Don't be anxious. Believe and trust the nature and power of God so that he can tell you the rest of the story. this morning with your head bowed and eyes closed, I don't know where anybody stands here before the Lord. I always want to give an opportunity for somebody to receive Christ today. Maybe you're struggling today. Maybe you're one of those people who feel like that everything's going your way, and all of a sudden, out of left field comes these desperate situations. Maybe you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about at all. There's a way to know Him, and it starts through repentance. It's by simply asking Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins, to allow Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. This morning, if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just simply raise your hands while everybody has their head bowed? If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Yes. Anybody else? Hey, Pastor, that's me. You want to get into the fight. You want to get your fight back. Start by repentance today. If you say, Pastor Jimmy, listen, I am struggling in my faith. I don't deny it. And I need my fight back. I need to pause to allow the Lord to tell me the rest of the story. If that's you, would you raise your hand today? Amen. To be honest, that's a lot of us. We can identify with Elijah's running. We can identify with the devastation that Joseph must have felt, finding out that his fiance is pregnant before they got married, knowing that it wasn't his, how devastated he must have been. And the first thought in his mind was to divorce. But instead, he went home and he slept on it. And God began to tell him the rest of the story. If you raised your hand, would you raise both your hands just up in a receiving mode? I'm going to pray over you. Father, this morning I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much that your word says that you would never, ever would you leave us. Sometimes we feel like that you're nowhere to be found, but that's just how we feel. That isn't what is true. So, Father, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of that gut punch moment, would you help us to put on the lens of truth, so that we can judge rightly in our pain, so that we can see your hand even in our disappointment, so that we can reach for faith instead of fear, so that we can reach for peace that is not our own, that transcends all understanding. Transcends means that it rises above, that it doesn't fit into any box. It's all has all authority, not limited to anything. And so, Father, let that all authoritative peace be over each and every person this morning that raised their hands. God, may they get their fight back this morning. May they allow you to supernaturally come through for them, so that they pause and take stock. God, may they find their fight in you today. May they be strengthened by your strength. May they fight in all of your energy. May they put on the helmet of salvation. May they put on the breastplate of righteousness. May the peace of God follow them all the days of their life. And when trouble happens, as Jesus said, trouble will come, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That, church, is the good news. And so, Father, this time of year and the Christmas season is supposed to be the most joyful time of the year, most wonderful time of the year. But for some of us, it just isn't. And I pray, Father, for those that are struggling here today in this church. Father, may you give them their joy back. May you give them their fight back. May you give them their the right perspective back so that we can believe for great and mighty things to come. So that you will have a chance to tell us the rest of the story. So, Father, the story doesn't end with tragedy. And so, Lord, today, by our own free will, we decide not to worry, not to be anxious. Because, Lord, we know that we offer it up to you in prayer. When we come to you in thanksgiving, not because of our situation, but because we know the nature of God, that you're working it for our good. Give us patience and time so that you can do your work. And as we do that, I pray that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our heart and our minds as you do your work in us. Father, I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, here's what I want you to do this morning. If you receive Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, would you put that down on that bulletin? Give it to the person in the back. We want to give you a gift this morning. We want to walk this walk out with you. You're at the right place at the right time in your life today. Amen? Know this. Stay with Philippians 4. That is your gateway of getting your fight back. The eye of the tiger starts playing when you start reading Philippians 4:6. Amen? Amen. Let me pray again. Father, thank you so much again for the power of your word. God, I pray that it transforms lives here today, gives hope, binds up our broken hearts, and sets us free so we can experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you guys so much for coming today, all our guests. Thank you so much for being here. Could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here. God bless you guys. Enjoy each other's company. You are dismissed. I bless you.